Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kissin' Politics 123 Radio Show. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. And this is Lori Chica from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well on this beautiful June day, and we're ready to go.
Yes, open talk format as we talk about American politics and the latest news from around the world. As you know, Ukraine and Russia still fighting. Will Russia finally give up and go back home, or will Ukraine finally succumb to Russian aggression? That's big international news and everything. A lot of people condemning Russia for their behavior. It's piss poor taste, invading a sovereign country and everything. But a lot of things on the home front, as Joe Biden has created 13.1 million new jobs, and it has Republicans reeling. And, you know, everything to stop him with his debt ceiling, and they fail miserably. And would anyone be least bit surprised to learn that Trump sold or traded classified information about Iran to the Saudis or even the Russians? Anyone? You want to take a bet on that? So on a domestic front, nearly 11 million jobs have been created since President Biden took office, including 750,000 manufacturing jobs. The unemployment rate is at a 50-year low, and a record number of small businesses have started since Biden took office. And, you know, the Republicans, like I say, don't have any solutions. Their solution is saying no to everything he proposed. It's supposed to be a compromise to get things done in Washington, but Republicans fail to do so. They're just abstract failures. So what can I say? I hope if and when DeSantis wins the Republican nomination, if he has a chance, he doesn't make America turn into Florida. That would be a big travesty of justice. Americans don't deserve that. We've been through a lot with the COVID pandemic and so much more, and, you know, we deserve better, and Joe Biden is better. You know, so what are other things going on? Yes, debt ceiling. And who won? I think Democrats won big time. McCarthy got nothing, and Biden and Democrats preserved things that were there. That's a little cut here, a little cut there by 2-3%. And with these many jobs, do we no longer have to worry about a recession? You know, we talk about in depth about, you know, is there still recession looming, depending on what Republicans try to do? People are really stressed out. As SNAP recipients will be affected by the debt ceiling deal. So I wanted to call and tell us how you feel about that. It's open talk mic, and the number to call, 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Turn off all your TVs and any other background noise. That's distracting to myself and Lori and other listeners. And I don't care who you are. Do not speak over the host or you'll be cut off. Glad you could be aboard tonight. Visit the website is www.kitchenpolitics123.com. You know, make sure you leave a message and everything. Some blog articles are out there, more to come. Merchandising will be available shortly, and more blog articles coming soon. And, you know, we're a defender of the democracy. We refuse to let Republicans destroy America with their fascist actions. So we're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking, Lori. All right, so where shall we start, Lori?
I'm very happy that there was 11 million jobs, you know, created since President Biden took office. The manufacturing jobs, the unemployment rate is at a historical 50-year low. You know, we have, like you said, a record number of small businesses that have started since President Biden took office. So things are looking up economically, you know, in the economy, you know, but people are still, you know, have this little feeling about the recession. But if they would just pay attention just a little bit, they would see that even in May, there were 339,000 new jobs that were added, and the unemployment rate in the country is only at 3.7%. So that within itself is a good sign for the country. People are working. I think a lot of people are also working self-employed. I have seen and heard a lot of women have taken on different types of jobs, and they're selling things online, and they're making a good profit. So it doesn't matter if you're going into an office. That's not the way it is anymore. People are more creative now. They have found many ways to make money, and so I mean, it's proof that the economy looks. I mean, even here in Michigan, I have to say, there, you know, stores are busy. The grocery stores. We have an amusement area that is not far from here. It is jam-packed with people. So, you know, I see good things coming for the country as long as we stay on this path. We can talk a little bit what was in the debt ceiling deal and go through that for a second, just so people kind of understand. President Biden did an excellent job. And the reason I'm saying that is because he did not, unlike the Republicans, go on television every day and make threats. He did not, you know, talk negatively about anything. He just kept his head down and didn't say a word about it. And when it was time to negotiate, he knew what he was going to go for. And it's sad that it had to come to the point where, you know, they had to negotiate, because normally they don't do that. But we know who's in power right now and the reason why. So let's just talk for a minute, you know, some of the things that were in the agreement. So first of all, the debt ceiling was suspended until 2025. So whoever is the next president will have to deal with it again, unfortunately. Maybe by then they will, you know, have a better way of going about this instead of using, you know, terror attacks, you know, and you know, threatening people that they're going to, you know, lose, you know, the country's going to fail, and, you know, people taking money out of banks and stuff like that.
Yeah, my hope is that by 2025, because remember next year, 2024 is the election, and hopefully Democrats will have a majority in both chambers in Congress, the House and the Senate. We're hoping for the 60-seat majority in the Senate, so there will be a filibuster-free Senate and more seats in the House. As Republicans, you know, try to gerrymander and take away the vote from the average American, you know, and take away minority rights and voting and what have you, especially in the red states. So if Democrats have the upper hand in both chambers of the Congress, then we can have a debt ceiling in 2025 without any hassle, you know. And ever so often, the United States Congress must vote to raise the suspending the ceiling, so it can borrow more to pay its bills. So currently it's at $31.4 trillion. And this includes paying for federal employees, the military, Social Security, and Medicare, as well as interest in national debt and tax refund. You know, so you know, in recent years, this has become increasingly difficult. Republicans have this lie about, oh, you know, the debt ceiling adds on to the federal deficit. It doesn't. What it does is pay for bills that were passed before, you know, so it adds nothing to the federal deficit. I wish people would learn that and stop listening to Fox News and other right-wing media. In a deal passed by the Congress recently, they have not raised the limit to a certain level, but suspended it entirely until 2025. And this allows them to pay their bills until the date is known for the next fight over raising the ceiling, and it will not interfere with the presidential elections that's coming up in 2024. The rest of the world can just leave us, breathe a sigh of relief once the deal is signed, because the United States default would have a global impact. And I can't believe the Republicans, for a few political points, you know, would put America and the world economy in such jeopardy and everything crash. And we'll go back to the Great Depression thing, you know?
I thought about that, and I really think that it was all threats. I think it would have been, when it came down, right down to at the end, they wouldn't have done that. I truly do, because that would have affected their pocketbooks as well. I mean, they would not have gotten, you know, they would have been in the terrible mess just like everybody else. So I think it was more of a type of thing. There might be a couple in there that care. If it goes, you know, it's not our fault. It's President Biden's fault, you know, the administration's fault. But I think that at the end, most of it was just threats. They're threats. And to me, it was like a terrorist attack, because you just don't do that. You don't, you know, threaten to, you know, push the country off the cliff because you can't get what you want. And they didn't really, they did not get what they wanted. We have on spending, but not defense, of course. like you said, there's no budget till 2025. The full funding for the medical care of military veterans would also increase in line with what President Biden had sought. So that's a good thing. Veterans always deserve the best care. They do not deserve to be homeless or anything like that. They deserve care and be able to taken care with respect. That's the way I feel about it. And then the COVID money, the unspent COVID funds were returned. And I thought that was logical. You know, I mean, COVID is over with, and you know, we don't need the money. And it was $30 billion. So there's nothing wrong with that. And then what else do they have here? Go ahead.
Okay, so unspent COVID funds, as you said. The welfare tinkered with, but no overhaul. A central demand of Republicans was to toughen up on the distribution of welfare benefits by attaching strings. That would mean able-bodied recipients having to work to get food and health care help. Democrats were adamant that this should not be on the table. The welfare being looked at by Republicans include Medicaid, health coverage for poor Americans, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, the Temporary Assistance for Needy Family, the TANF. Medicare remains untouched in the deal. So it's a win for Joe Biden there, because their tenure plan, the Republican tenure plan, would make a lot of people suffer. What if you're, you know, disabled, you're handicapped, you're challenged, you're physically challenged? But the age at which work requirements are included for those on SNAP was raised from 50 to 54 years old. So at least the Republicans got their way with that. Funds to enforce tax rules on wealthy Americans. It's another win for Democrats. The Democrats secured $80 billion for a decade to help the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, and enforce a tax code in last year's Inflation Reduction Act on the richest 1% in America. And the Republicans wanted to dump $8 billion in IRS funding, claiming it would be used to hire an army of agents to audit Americans. The agency said it would be used to modernize the system. So instead, in showcasing his deal-making skills, Biden agreed to cut $20 billion, but divert that cash to other non-defense spending. So that's a big win for Democrats and Biden again.
Yes,
it is. So easier to get energy project permits. New rules will make it easier for both fossil fuel and renewable energy projects to get licensed. This has long been advocated by Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia. And when the Senate passed their version of the bill, Senator Tim Kaine from Virginia, he wanted to strip a pipeline from a debt ceiling deal, but Joe Manchin got his own way, unfortunately. So, you know, Joe Manchin, he plays as a spoiler, as a kingmaker, just like Kristen Sinema from Arizona. It's my way or we're voting Republicans. I would need to get people like that out and put in real progressive and liberal Democrats. Things that were off the table include student loan relief that Joe Biden was pushing for ever since he was running for office. Republicans wanted Biden to forgive student debt to be rescinded, but it survived. The Biden administration student debt case will be ultimately decided by the Supreme Court, but the bill does not require the Biden administration to follow through with a plan to end the current pause, which has been in effect since the start of the pandemic on student loan repayments by the end of the summer. So what Republicans want to do, they're in a rich friends, since it was paused because of the pandemic, they want people, students, to pay late fees and the fees that are owed plus what coming up, which is crazy. Yeah. I mean, and the economy not strong. It's fragile at the moment. It's recovering, yes. We had jobs, yes. Mm-hmm. But come on. You know, that's breaking the back of the average person, the middle class and the lower class people who are working the butts off.
You know, and the thing is, David, is that a lot of these college students, they work and they go to school. And so you have to think about that because they, you know, they have to eat. They have to drive their vehicles to and from school, some of them. They have to buy their books, you know, living in their quarters, I mean, in their dorms. That's expensive as well. And then, of course, their tuition. So, you know, they have to have some sort of a way to be able to repay the debt and not have it hanging over their head for years upon years. But the Republicans don't care. They truly don't care. And that's a terrible thing. And I out of these college students see that now, and they know it. And they're going to be gunning for the Republicans, trust me.
Yes, indeed. And another thing that you didn't include is that the you didn't put in a food bill, you didn't put in light, water, you didn't put in, you know, like supposed to sick, that will go to the doctor, things like that, you know, because life is life and it throws you a wrench in life sometimes, you know, you know, the cost of just living is hard enough. And these Republicans have absolutely no, you know, heart or soul. So the tax hikes, Democrats targeted wealthy Americans for new tax cuts, or tax hikes, my bad, but there are no new taxes here. So the House Democrats will be fuming about this. They were already critical that the White House did not make taxes on the rich and powerful the centerpiece of their talks. And, you know, we can't get everything we want, but Eisenhower did it in 1952 when 1953 he came in as president, and the same level of taxes that he got back in the 1950s Joe Biden was asking for. So Ike did a good thing because because of that money, by taxing the rich, you know, could improve infrastructure and all that good thing. That's what Joe Biden is trying to do. The Republicans saying no, they'd rather have a further tax cut. Even though the rich people, the 1%, got $2 trillion under Trump. I mean, how much more tax cuts you want? As the blog article that I wrote last week, you know, they believe in trickle-down economics where you cut taxes for the riches that will create more jobs. And with that, it, you know, fuel the economy and the money will trickle down to the middle class and create a middle class. But that's not been happening since 1981. No. I don't know a lot of these people.
You know, it's called brainwashing. You know, trickle-down economics. They've said it a million times, and it just does not work. We know that. We know that it doesn't work. And, you know, they would rather keep their profits and reinvest their profits and buy yachts and homes and vacations. And they don't care about anybody. They don't care about the environment. They don't care about anything. They just care in enriching themselves and their families, their own families. That's all they care about.
And setting up shell companies. Setting up shell companies and putting their money in foreign bank accounts so they don't have to pay any taxes to the IRS. And that is why we need more IRS.
Absolutely. You know, do you think that those people have not hired, you know, attorneys and, you know, tax consultants that understand and get through the rules and regulations and find the little loopholes for them? Of course they have, because they can afford to do that. And it's just not fair. It isn't fair. You know, I mean, I understand if you know, if you're rich and you've worked hard in your life, I get all of that. But for God's sake, pay your fair share. Just pay your fair share. That's all we're asking for. No one is asking for more. Just your fair share. And your fair share is more than nothing. You know?
Exactly. Yes, let's start taking some calls now. This is season 5, episode 6, Open Mic Talk. The number to call is 515-605-9807. Say your first name, where you're calling from. Turn off your TV and any background noise. This is distracting to both Laura and I and other listeners. Okay, so hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight?
I don't hear anything, so it must be me again.
Yes, hi. Yes. Hello, how are you doing?
Good evening. I've got a question I've been trying to figure out the answer to. On that budget, did they cut back on the IRS employees, or do we still have the same employees? Do you know?
Well, look at $2 billion. $2 billion, because they wanted to put $20 billion in there to expand, you know, the IRS agents and how and modernize like computer systems and how to track people and they're paying taxes and all. So $2 billion has gone out of that in defense discretionary spending. So it could go to healthcare, it could go to education, you know, wherever they decide to go, it will go. But, you know, they cut $2 billion or the proposed $20 billion that Joe Biden wanted.
Oh, okay. I just had that question on that. I can see why they wanted that. They figure if they don't have enough employees, the rich people will still be getting away with it.
They are going to hire more IRS employees. I thought that's what I read.
I really, you know, I've been searching the net, and I haven't really seen any definite explanation on the IRS. There's been little tidbits here and there, but there is so much going on, I can understand why something like this budget, I guess, is not that important, but I think it is.
And I, like we were saying, I don't think it's, you know, it's sad that the Republicans, you know, and made so many people, you know, nervous, you know, the people that are on Medicaid, on SNAP, on Social Security, on Medicare, they made everybody nervous because the way they were talking, you know, everything was going to come to a standstill. And you don't negotiate by terrorizing people and, you know, and just going in and getting, asking for what you want with threats. That's not how it works. And, you know, President Biden, like I started to say before, you know, he actually kept a cool head. He did not talk about anything. He knew what he wanted to do. He is a good negotiator. He has experience. And I think for the climate that we're in right now, I think President Biden did a great job. I really do. Because they wanted blood, and he didn't give them blood. And he didn't negotiate blood. If you know, does that make sense? And that's what they want. Yeah. You know, they want.
Yeah, the
just,
thing is.
This
is how I look at it. You know, Biden had no choice because knowing the Republicans, you know, to score political points, they'd screw over Biden. And the bill wouldn't get passed. We'd go into default. The whole world economy crash. It'd be like the Great Depression or probably worse because they're known to be spiteful like that, you know, just for political points. Mm-hmm. And like how next year's the election, you know, who knows what the Republicans would do if they were just bluffing and they wouldn't do anything and Biden got his way. But we couldn't take that chance. Joe Biden couldn't take that chance. So it's good on Joe Biden. You know, what he did, even though it's going to hurt, you know, people, the less affluent and everything, but it's just by 2%, which is a lot for some people. Some 500,000 people may come off of the program because the Republicans put up the age from 50 to 54. And you have to prove that, you know, you're able to work and what have you, you know, even if you have disabilities, you know. So I want to see the Republicans, you know, live off minimum wage, for example. The minimum wage should have been increased across the board. And for someone to live on $7.25, $7.50 an hour in this day and age is ludicrous, you know. And Republicans don't care. And some blue dog Democrats like Joe Manchin don't care because they're filthy rich. They went in there with nothing. And now, after years in there, whether the House or the Senate, they're rich. Look at Mitch McConnell from Kentucky. He went in there as one of the poorest people, and he's the second richest person in the entire Congress. How is that possible? Well, if we look at things like that,
they all seem to get very lucrative after they get in. We have got to demand a change in rules for them. You know, I hear people say term limits. You know, get rid of a lot of these perks that they do not need, and they wouldn't be sitting up there forever.
Just work their term and then be done. If it wasn't so, you know, profitable for them or lucrative, you know. I agree with that.
I think one of the first things that the people should start be howling about is we should get rid of the lobbyists, period. No lobbies. We don't need them.
I agree.
Close that revolving.
These lobbies pay for trips. They call them learning experience. They call them training sessions. And all they are is lobby sessions. They wine you. They dine you. I'm talking about the little guy. The little guy who's on console or the dog catcher or the you know, the sheriff in the small town. They wine and dine you. And then your tax dollar puts you on a plane and you go to training sessions. They aren't training sessions. They're lobby sessions. And I think they've got to start telling people exactly what's going on. And they got to start listening. And they aren't listening. So I'm going to keep harping on this one. Got to get rid of the lobbies, and this is what the lobbyists do. You go to a training session, and what are they telling you? Buy our street lights, buy our garbage cans, buy our garbage trucks, buy our cement, buy our poles for the lights, et cetera, et cetera. Now we're talking local level. What's going on at the big level? Just use your imagination.
Look at this example, for example. Lockheed Martin is a sole contractor for the Defense Department. And one part costs something like $250, but because Lockheed Martin has no competition, you know, the sell the U.S. the Defense Department for $10,000, something that costs $250. That's an example right there, you know. So, and if we close that revolving door of when a congressperson, you know, if a congressperson or a senator retires or they're beaten in an election, they can't go back to those lobbyists for cushy jobs with perks and everything, because when they're in there, it's against what people voted them in for, where they should be working for the people instead of listening to lobbyists and working for the lobbyists and say, okay, we'll put this bill through if you give us money in our coffers for a re-election and campaign funds. You know, it's like
a total conflict of interest. That shouldn't happen. And I blame Ronald Reagan in the 1980s when, you know, there were something like near 30 different Lockheed Martin types of businesses where you could, like, compare prices to get parts for, like, tanks and weapons and what have you. But no, because Lockheed Martin is the sole provider for the defense industry, they can jack up prices any way they want. You know, it's ridiculous. The taxpayers getting screwed royally, big time, you know?
And how many of those military contracts are no longer made in the USA, but the parent company has got an office somewhere in the United States? That's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't even be getting the contract.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't even be getting a tax break. If they send their jobs overseas, I'm sorry, but they don't deserve a tax break. Get your tax break from the country that you sent the jobs to.
Yes, ma'am.
I heard somebody in the background.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so on to other things. What do you ladies think about Disney that could be moving to Nevada? They're moving from thinking about moving from Florida because of what's happening with
Nevada.
I think that's terrific because I could gamble and go to Disney all at the same time. I'd love it.
That would probably be a good idea, but I never thought of Nevada. Interesting.
Well, why not? Disney got rid of the swampland in Florida. Now they can get rid of the desert in Nevada.
Yeah.
I think that'd be terrific for me because I could do both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would. I think that would be such a slap in the face for DeSantis because, you know, he has been, you know, trying to make Disney's world miserable. And he's failed at it. He's not going to win that war, you know. And just because they don't have the same feelings about things that he has, he's railing against them. I mean, who does he think he is? Well, we know who he thinks he is. He's a fascist, and there's no doubt about that. But you know, to go up against a corporation that employs how many thousands of people in your state? Is that insane or what?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Look at the spinoff jobs from Disney. People come down to Disney. They go down to Universal. What's that other park down there? There's three of them. There's the hotels. There's the restaurants. There's the, it's a big spinoff. While you're down there, you go down to Miami. Mm-hmm. You see the clubs down there. Gee, I'm so, you know, I'm already down this far. Why not go to Key West? Otherwise, people wouldn't go to Florida.
No.
Exactly. And in Nevada, they have the many studios there, there are studios, movie studios there, the filming studios, so that would be a plus for Nevada. It would do good on them. They'll make more money for the state and create jobs and what have you. You know, it would be in southern Nevada, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
oh,
so
I
that would
like
be good
nice Disney to come to Michigan and have a winter Disney. I think that'd be super.
That would be super. Michigan would be perfect for that.
Yeah, a winter Disney.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, I think the Satan has met his match with Disney. I really, they're not going to cut to him.
Though he can win this war. He can't win this war against Disney.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing that I wanted to mention is that it's June is the LGBTQIA+ Pride Month, and I'll just read what it is. It's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer, which is LGBTQ Pride Month, is currently celebrated each year in the month of June to honor the 1969 Stonewall Uprising in Manhattan. The Stonewall Uprising was a tipping point for the gay liberation movement in the United States. In the United States, the last Sunday in June was initially celebrated as Gay Pride Day, but the actual day was in major cities across the nation. The day soon grew to encompass a month-long series of events. Today, celebrations include pride parades, picnics, parties, workshops, concerts, LGBTQ Pride Month events attract millions of participants around the world. Memorials are held during this month for members in the community who have lost to hate crimes or HIV AIDS. The purpose of the month is to recognize the impact that the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender individuals have had in history locally, nationally, and internationally. So that's just a little bit about that. And we know that there are certain states that are not welcoming this. And at this point, and we are in 2023, and at this point, it's all over the world. It's not just in our country. We see it in Europe as well. And I guess we just have to learn to just accept. And if it doesn't affect you or bother you, if they're not hurting you, just go and do your thing. If you don't want to go to the festival, you don't go. If you want to go and check it out and see what's happening, and you know, a different, you know, it would be a different world. It would be for me, but I mean, I would say if I had someone to go with, I would go. But you know, just can't harbor this hate that we have for people that are different than us. We have to learn to accept. That's what the younger generation has already done. They accept people for who they are, no matter what color of their skin, what gender they are. That is the way it should be. That's the way I look at life. That's the way you should look at life. And just be accepting of people. Of course, if you're a horrible human being, and you know, that's a different story. But you know, let's try to be more compassionate and kind, and try to turn this hatred around in this country. We need to do that.
Joe Biden was the first candidate in 2020 who came out in support of gay people, gay marriage, and he was a gay advocate and everything. You know, and Republicans just refused to change with times. And, you know, love who you love. As long as it don't affect you, how is it putting clothes on your back or a roof over your head or food on the table? It's none of your business, still. That's my thing, my take on it. I mean, I don't understand it, but you just have to accept people for who they are, you know, and not judge, you know, and not play God because somebody's gay or lesbian or bisexual or a transgender. You know, it's very stupid that people buying Bud Light beer and, you know, they have those videos on YouTube where they're shooting up the beer. You know, I mean, Bud Light is laughing at them because you don't blow the beer already. Why are you shooting it up? You look stupid, like Kid Rock, you know.
I know.
Whomever
Kid
ridiculous.
I went to the store. You can either buy the beer with the rainbow on it, or you can buy the beer that's all blue. If the rainbow bothers you, don't buy that can. My God.
It's as simple as that.
Right.
As that. And, you know, the thing is that it all has a ripple effect because, you know, this one gets angry because, you know, there's a rainbow on the can. And then the next person is like, why are you angry? There's a rainbow on the can. Who cares? But it's a ripple effect. And it causes aggravation when there is no need for aggravation. There's just no need for it. Why do people love getting upset? Why do we have all these Karens in the world right now? Why? I mean, I just don't get it. Why do you want to ruin someone else's day and actually ruin your own day with being upset with something stupid. It just makes no sense. It's like, don't you have better things to do in your life? I guess not, right?
Well, you know, I like rainbow-colored clothes, but they're causing such an uproar over it. I worry, am I going to put something on like that, and is some hateful person going to hurt me?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know, at this time in our country, you're thinking in the right way, because that's a possibility. It is a possibility at this point of where we are right now, and we need to get past this. We just need to get past it.
515-605-9802 is the number to call. Say your first name, where you're calling from. Hello, caller from Michigan. A new caller from Michigan.
Hello.
How
are you doing
tonight?
It's Susan.
Oh, hi,
Susan from Michigan.
Hi. Remember when you used to put rainbows in nurseries for the little new babies? Now you can't do that anymore. And little kindergartners would draw their little rainbows, right? But you can't do that no more. Why? Doesn't make any
sense. I always like the rainbow umbrella.
Huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I have one, too. It was a golf umbrella that I bought. My husband said, I can't walk out with that one now. Because when I bought it, there was no big deal, you know. It was a colored umbrella. That's all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do?
Right.
It just drives me crazy because, I mean, what do they think they're going to catch being gay? Gay's been around forever. You're born with it. I mean, you are or you're not. You can't change somebody and make them gay, and you can't unmake them gay. And they don't bother anybody. So what is this bullshit? I just can't. It's so stupid. It reminds me of this guy that was so afraid. You know, there's gay people in our village in Italy, and his wife said, it's not catchy. You know, they are what they are, you know? What's the big deal?
And you know, you have
well,
to
I had
about-
one person say to me their open emotion in public, and I said, give me a break. A heterosexual couple, first words out of my mouth are, get a room, get out of my sight.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just stupid. You know, these people right now, you know, the far right, they got to find people to pick on. That's all. You know, they think they're better than everybody else. Black people, Mexicans, gay people, because they got nothing else to do. And they're too stupid to realize it, you know?
But, you know, a couple months back, Lauren Boebert, a congresswoman from Colorado, she did say that a church needs to step in and, you know, we should follow the laws of the church and the Bible instead of the Constitution because the Bible trumps the Constitution, which I don't know where she got her education from. She just got her GED after trying 6 times. She has no clue of what she's talking about because Lauren Boebert is the same Lauren Boebert who preached about, oh, family values and, you know, marriage is a sacred thing. And God knows what happened between her and her husband. They're getting a divorce now and everything. And, you know, applaud the man for running the opposite direction. Don't know, you know, what happened. You know, anything can happen between a man and a woman in a marriage. But to be married to Lauren Boebert, Jesus, what a witch. Jesus, that woman is just pure evil and pure stupidity.
She's stupid because that's what our country was founded on, separation of church and state. And there's so many religions, which one are you going to pick, right?
And you know that Lauren Boebert did not, she was late and she didn't get to vote on the debt ceiling. Did you know that?
Yeah, I saw that on the news clip.
She was late. She was running up the stairs asking if she missed the vote, and whoever responded to her said, yeah, you missed the vote. I thought that was hysterical.
Yeah.
She was so adamant about voting no, and she was late. That was, and she didn't get to vote.
She can't read. Why was she late?
Why was she late? Was she busy doing something naughty?
Who knows?
Or she just couldn't read the announcement.
You never know. I have no clue. But she was running like deer.
I know why Lauren Boebert was late. She can't read a clock or a watch. She's
yeah,
that dumb. Let me put the past her.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean she doesn't know how to read one?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a joke. It's a joke. You know.
Yeah.
But then again, she's so stupid. I can't put anything past her.
No, I still think
the
she
Supreme
was
Court.
Naughty.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about
before the Congress and how they go in poor, come out rich. They need to turn back the rules that the stupid Supreme Court reversed on campaign funding, the limits. There should be limits on how much corporations can give them. It used to be back in the 70s or so, even, $2,500. You couldn't give a politician more than $2,500 per year on campaigning. And it should go back to that. And lobbyists should be illegal. And another thing is that when they get out of office, like you guys said, they should not go to corporations that were lobbying them. It should be a 10-year delay, a 10-year delay before they can go make money. And we got to get rid of monopolies, like for the military. There's only 2-3 companies that make military planes and everything. And same with meat packers, pharmaceuticals. They got to get after them for monopolies. They just, you know, beat up all these little companies that were, working there and could give you over-the-counter drugs or stuff of that cheap, not the new scripts that cost a fortune, like for cancer and stuff like that, but the everyday stuff, like for thyroid and things, that could be a lot cheaper. Insulin, you know, I'm always on that case because it's cheaper in every other damn country, and they make it here. So why are they charging Canada and Europe $40 and it's $350 here? That should be against the law.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. There should be more competition with different. There should be more competition with different companies, and you have competition. You can say, oh, okay, this one is lower, so I'm going with this one, or this is a better drug, even though it's there's always room for competition, but there's no competition.
Look what, the meat packers during the virus, COVID. I mean, they just dominated it and the. Price of meat and everything shot up. Did it come down? Hell no. Came down a little bit. Oil companies, same damn thing. It shot up and it's still there. I mean, we're over here still almost $4 a gallon, especially in the summer with all the tourists coming, so they jack up the price up north. It's got to stop, and nobody's doing anything about it.
The thing is that Amazon is basically a monopoly because there isn't anything that you cannot find on Amazon. And eventually what it's going to do is, Bed Bath & Beyond, they're going out of business. These brick and mortars will go out of business. And,
exactly.
And also our grocery stores, Kroger's has gotten humongous. They're all over the country, and they're buying out. They will probably end up being maybe the only grocery store buying left.
We have Family Fair up here that all the little towns up here have Family Fair, and they're just buying up all the little grocery stores. Yeah, same thing happening here.
Yeah, Kroger's just bought up Albertsons, for example. So.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's down south,
So that's, that's what happens. And then there's no competition, like you guys said. So they can, choose what price, whatever they want, because basically where else are you going to go? And that's what's happening. And, it wasn't always like this. We always had a choice.
And then those stores have their own brands that are competing with, like, Dole and, different products, the normal one, Hunt's and stuff. They have their own store brands. Yeah. And mm-hmm. they, you know, mm-hmm. they used to be cheap, you know, if you bought the store brand is cheap, but they're coming up too, and they're almost the same price as the regular brand.
Yeah, so, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know how to change that. It probably will not change. It's only going to get worse with people buying everything on the internet and, you know, that sort of thing. So be prepared. I mean, I personally like going shopping. I like going to the stores. I like the, you know, the social part of it. And
yeah, I want to touch and feel my clothes before
yeah.
and try them on instead of trying them on and sending them back again.
Yes. So, I mean, mm-hmm. that's just me. There are people that like it, and, you know, it does save time. I have to say that. It does save time. But, you know, the brick and mortars are going to suffer for it. And, you know, that's basic bottom line.
So Laurie, and Liz, what do you think
there
about?
There isn't that much, excuse me, you know, where we're up here, there's small towns. We don't have the big box stores, you know, one or two.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why a lot of people here go online, because when you go to the little stores, they're a lot more expensive and there's a limited, you know, variety.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
that's kind of the excuse of not going, you know, driving like 50 miles or 100 miles to go to a big store.
Understand that, yes.
Oh, speaking of stores, what do you think about what do you think about Walmart and other stores doing this, where if you go to the self-checkout, the machine asking for a tip? I think that's in poor taste.
I refuse to go to those. I always go to the checkout with a person at it, because I don't want to check myself out.
You know,
I just got that's my thing. If it's an automatic checkout, I avoid it. I'd rather be in line with a real person.
Yeah. Because today when I was at Walmart, for example, when I was at Walmart today, for example, two cashiers were open for a long time, and the self-checkout was, like, long. And it's ludicrous that, you know, you buy stuff and everything. They should give you a discount for that. You know, it's like you're working at the place.
Yeah.
I know after you get your bill and you're about to pay, so, oh, you know, you could tip the machine. I'm like, screw this.
Are you kidding
me?
I never heard of a ridiculous thing like that.
That's the newest thing.
What I don't understand is many times the self-checkout has got a longer line than the two cashiers. I don't understand that.
I don't either, but I always go to the cashiers because I like the face-to-face and I want them to have a job. So I go there.
Yeah.
I agree with
you. Yeah, and they should open more cash registers, you know, whatever Walmart or whoever doing, you know, being cheap, you know. But anyway, Supreme Court decision. What do you think about the Supreme Court decision, Laurie and ladies, that weaken the EPA's authority and scale back on the scope of the Clean Air and Clean Water Act? I think that's a big travesty of justice and disgusting what it did. You know, Laurie, what's your thought on this?
Exactly, you're right.
You know, this Supreme Court, I am sorry to say, is a sham. They have lost what the Supreme Court is supposed to be. They are no longer. How can you not want clean water and fresh air? How can you go against that? How can you weaken the Environmental Protection Agency? How can you do that and have a conscience? Because you will leave, you know, your children, your grandchildren, you know, in a country that, I mean, it's bad enough now people are having trouble with their water in different areas of the country. And then you lower the standards even more, you know, and then what about the air that you breathe? And what about the people that have asthma and, you know, COPD and all that stuff that goes on? It just makes no sense. And they should be ashamed of themselves. They should
The Supreme Court has become a legislation session. Since when does the Supreme Court legislate? Now, the EPA rulings are legislation. They should have refused to hear the case. They should have said it's legislation. This is the way it should be. But all of a sudden, now that the Supreme Court is packed, they've become a legislation session. They are no longer a Supreme Court. Supreme Court. They do not hear discussions and disputes. They're legislating.
I want to see what
Roe versus Wade.
I want to see, besides Thomas, what the other judges are being bribed by. How much money and vacations and crap they're getting, because they are going in the corporate venue rather than the people's. What's better for us? You know, you got the oil companies and the chemical companies and, you know, like our oil pipeline and all this other stuff and the mines and stuff that are polluting our country, just, you know, crapping all over us. And yet they don't want to back the EPA. The Republicans are turning it back, and they're backing the far right on that. You know, screw everybody. You know, you can die from cancer. There was this elementary school that is trying to fight a telephone pole, you know, internet thing right on top of an elementary school. And the parents don't want it there.
Yeah.
I mean, right on top of an elementary school.
On that EPA ruling, they should have said that's a legislative item. We are not going to take and legislate it. There's no argument there. That's a legislative item. The Supreme Court is no longer being
a
Supreme
Court.
No, they're not. So I'm going to read a little bit about, I'm going to read the transcript about this because I think it's important that we know and understand, you know, what they're doing or what they're trying to do. So the case involved the EPA blocking an Idaho couple from building a house near a lake on their property, saying the construction would pollute water protected by the Clean Water Act. William Brangham discussed the case with Coral Davenport. So the U.S. Supreme Court has again weakened the authority of the Environmental Protection Agency. As it reports today, the agency's limits to power, agency's power to curb water pollution. The case goes back 15 years when the EPA, citing the landmark Clean Water Act, blocked an Idaho couple from building a house on their property because there was a wetland on it, and the property was next to a big lake. All nine justices agreed that the EPA didn't have the authority to regulate these homeowners' property because there was a stark disagreement over how to determine when a body of water can and should be protected. Seriously? To understand the implications of this ruling, we are joined again by Coral Davenport. She covers the energy environment of the New York Times. So I guess this goes back 15 years. This couple wanted to build this house. They weren't, the EPA did not allow them to build it. Now this, they're seeing this case now after 15 years is what it sounds like. And they said that, well, you know, it's always been that the wetlands have always been protected. I know here.
Yeah, you can't put a septic field on a wetland. Where is it going to drain to?
Right. They've always been protected. So why isn't a wetland protected all of a sudden? A wetland is really important to nature. I mean, they have no business doing this. This is not their, this is not their thing. They need to go back.
Yeah, if they
want to
build a house and they can't build it on a swamp, then they ought to go sell that land and build it somewhere else.
Yeah.
We have a lot of wetlands up here because we're surrounded by lakes and rivers, and it's strictly regulated. You got to, you know, have all kinds of inspections on your septic field or be hooked up to the city sewers and stuff like that because it's important. I mean, it's a livelihood up here. If you don't keep the Great Lakes and the Little Lakes and the freshwater rivers and everything clean, you know, then what? You know, tourism and everything goes away. That's the only thing they have up here. They don't have big industry.
So, David, what's going on with Trump?
Oh, yeah, so Trump, no, the liar that he is, he was recently heard on tape discussing the documents, the classified documents that he claims that he declassified, you know, and there's a process in which you have to go through to declassify documents. Not because you're president and you say, yes, they're declassified, there are steps to be taken. And so there was that Jack, what's his name? Jack Smith. He got the worker who'd been moving the boxes for Trump to hide them because he knew the FBI was coming and Jack Smith was coming. And, you know, so God knows if that worker at Mar-a-Lago flip on Trump and say, hey, you know, he told me to move it here or there. And don't know yet if Jack Smith have those documents. You know, but the audio recording discussed the documents and everything. And I'm going to play like a two-minute clip for the explanation. Here it is.
This morning, ABC News confirming federal prosecutors are in possession of an audio recording from nearly 2 years ago where former President Trump appears to acknowledge having classified documents. ABC News has not obtained the recording, but sources say Trump references a document which he claimed was about a potential attack on Iran, while indicating he was aware of the legal concerns surrounding the possession of the secret document. The audio was recorded in the summer of 2021, more than a year before FBI agents searched Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort, seizing more than 100 classified documents after Trump's team failed to comply with a subpoena. The recording also reportedly includes Trump saying he was not sure if he could declassify records after leaving the White House.
I took the documents I'm allowed to.
Trump has repeatedly denied any wrongdoing as the special counsel investigated whether he violated the law or put national security at risk. Trump has insisted the recovered documents were automatically declassified.
Did you ever show those classified documents to anyone?
Not really. I would have the right to. By the way, they would declassified not that I can think of.
This is all coming as Trump's feud with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis intensified.
Mr. Trump, what's your response to Ron DeSantis calling you out by name?
Yesterday, both Republican presidential candidates were in Iowa, where Trump called DeSantis a very disloyal person during a radio interview. DeSantis is trailing Trump in the polls by double digits, but he's telling voters that Trump is unable to win another general election.
The tired dogmas of the past are inadequate for a vibrant future. We have to look forward. We can't look backwards. We must have the courage to lead, and we must have the strength to win.
Meanwhile, the Republican field to take on Trump is getting more crowded. Former Vice President Mike Pence and former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie are both expected to announce their candidacies next week.
Reacting to that audio recording, Trump's lawyers call it part of what they called a political persecution.
Yes, so there you have it there. Trump is being persecuted, according to him. And Chris Christie and former Vice President Mike Pence jumping into the race. And others who are less known is jumping into the race now. Lori, and then the other ladies, what do you think about this Republican field?
Oh, there's also, I heard today, and I'm not familiar of who he is. His name is Doug Burgum from I think from Nebraska. I don't remember. I'm going to have to.
Yeah, former governor. Right. He's a former governor. Doug Burgum.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Burgum. Yes, he was. And also Tim Scott is another one. Mike Pence, the Satan, Trump, Chris Christie. Who else? I mean, they're probably going to end up being, who knows how many, you know, are going to jump into the race. Mike Pence is another one. Please. Is there any of them that
Nikki
are
Haley. Working?
Oh, yes, Nikki Haley. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Yeah, Doug Burgum is.
Go ahead.
Doug Burgum is the former North Dakota governor.
That's what it is, North Dakota, yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
So, all of them suck. All of them are pathetic. And the only way DeSantis can beat Trump is if all of them drop out of the race and have a one-on-one with Trump. That's the only way that DeSantis can get the nomination. But, you know, everybody wants the limelight, the 15 minutes of fame. And there's no way in hell Tim Scott will get the nomination. He's just running, you know, because, hey, look, Republicans, you know, have a black man in there, token black. You know, so we know how, you know, how racist the Republican Party is and sexist. You know, so both he and Nikki Haley stand more chance. But what's your perspective, Elaine, and then Susie? What do you think about the Republican field?
They don't stand a chance because of women's rights. Not one of them. Not a one. Because the women are gonna come out and they are gonna vote. You know, if you don't, again, if you don't want to have an abortion for whatever reason, you're willing to be toxic or septic, have a fetus die within your body, and you don't want to have it taken care of, you know, like you're supposed to, that's your choice. And I feel that the women are going to come out in force. A lot of women that are probably telling their husbands, oh, yeah, I agree with you, honey. Well, in the privacy of their voting booth, I've got a feeling they're going to be voting a lot different. That's my take on it. I don't think any one of them stands a ghost chance in hell.
I agree with you.
Susie?
Yeah, the Republicans suck, like you said. And you're right, Elaine, on women coming out on the voting rights and the on abortion and voting rights. The young kids are, the women are, the ethnic people will, because it's BS on the right. It's just you know, they're crazy. They're taking our democracy away, and we got to change it. And I wish we could reelect the Supreme Court, then I'd be a happy camper. Because they're helping us go to hell in a handbasket, because they're, you know, overturning all these things that they should have no business changing.
But people, people can't forget that they had better vote blue for the simple reason that the other Supreme Court justices we vote for, like the state Supreme Court, we vote for them, and we better make sure that they are at least middle of the road.
I just can't understand, like, that one judge overturned that you can't use abortion pills. One guy in one state said the whole
Texas
country couldn't do that. What's up with that?
I don't know.
It's
all screwed up. I just don't understand.
I don't need ladies, young people, get out there and vote.
I know.
Yeah,
and, I mean, you and I, Elaine, and we remember fighting for Roe versus Wade. It was hard fought from the 20s, and 1920s and 30s, back alley abortions and all that. We finally got it, and then they go and take it away just like that? It doesn't make any sense.
My mother was
pregnant
with my
Texas
brother, and she was having a lot of health issues. And I remember hearing my dad say, "I don't think that you should go to a Catholic hospital." And abortion was totally illegal, like it is now. And I remember him talking with people, because she was having a lot of health problems, and he said, She needs to be here with me, and she has another child that's already here. I don't think anybody should have to go through that.
That particular judge in Texas who made that ruling, he contributed thousands of dollars to Donald Trump, and in turn, Trump appointed him to that court, and that court, you know, the country has to go through that court. In regards to women's rights and women taking a pill and women's reproductive rights and everything. And we know how red Texas
is.
You know, the Christian conservative
family. Why should the whole country be ruled by one state?
Well, yeah. That's why elections are important. You know, back in 2016 when Bernie Sanders didn't get a nomination, a lot of Berners who, you know, campaigned hard for Bernie Sanders and what have you, said, okay, yeah, election was rigged, the primaries were rigged, we're not able to vote for Hillary under no circumstances. And say, look at that. Some of them stayed home. Some of them, I question their loyalty to the Democratic Party and to America, because out of spite, some of them voted for Trump, which I don't understand their thinking on. You know, so when Trump is in there, McConnell, who had a majority in the Senate back then, you know, he could, like, appoint judges, you know, and go through the rigmarole of the hearings to be confirmed and everything. You know, so, I mean, when things like this happening now, you have to look at yourself and say, wow, did I do my part in voting for Hillary, or did I stay home, or out of spite, because I'm such a dick, voted for Donald Trump? You know, it's one of the three positions somebody
had. And McConnell held up the Supreme Court thing, appointee that Obama wanted to do. Oh, it's too close. It's 6 months, 8 months, or a year away. Yeah, and look what they did. They just stuffed the court really fast, didn't they?
Exactly, exactly. And Democrats should stand up to that, because Democrats, you know, they should call out Mitch McConnell and say, no, you're not going to have your own way, because when Obama wanted to make his pick, he did everything to say no. But once a Republican was in, they should have filibustered the crap out of a Gurwitch and I like beer guy, what's his name? Kavanaugh and the lady there, Coney Barrett, Coney Barrett. You know, those three are appalling people that should not be on the bench. And the Dominion Christianity is just fucking everything up. It's appalling and disgusting, you know. And speaking of disgusting, Donald Trump lawyers demand that a judge in New York hush money case step aside.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the former president of the New York criminal trial, Juan Manuel Merchan, they're demanding that he step aside because of what they said is bias and conflict of interest arising from his daughter's work for leading Democrats. In April, Trump pleaded not guilty to 34 counts, felony charges of falsifying business records arising from a $130,000 payment to adult film star Stormy Daniels shortly before the 2016 election. After an arraignment, Trump complained that Merchan was a Trump-hating judge from a family of Trump haters. So this past Friday, lawyers from Trump alleged that Merchan, a respected jurist in Manhattan Criminal Court, tipped the scales in two other cases by involving himself in a plea negotiation for Trump's longtime financial chief and requiring him to testify against Trump's company in exchange for a 5-month sentence. So Trump's lawyers, Susan Nicholas and Todd Blanche, also asked Judge Merchan, to explain three donations totaling $35 made to Democratic causes in his name in 2020. $35. Now remember, these other judges who have influence in reproductive rights and other things give thousands of dollars to Donald Trump's campaign. Why is that not a conflict of interest compared to $35 from this judge? It's so two-faced and hypocritical these Republicans are.
Very much so.
You know?
Yep.
So,
and,
go ahead.
The other thing that I was just going to talk about for a second, and this, you know, Trump has so many cases that are coming up and going, he's going to have to face soon, sooner than later. I don't know how this man can continue to think that he can run for president and still show his face. I mean, if we go down, he has a Stormy Daniels hush money case, right? The election tampering case in Georgia. They have the classified documents at Mar-a-Lago case. That's by Jack Smith is going on now. The January 6th, 2020 election aftermath case. That one.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Carol case, which was already, you know, he already lost that case. He already had to pay $5 million. But she's going to sue him again for the same thing because he can't keep his mouth shut. And then he has the business fraud case in New York, which is, I think, includes his family. I mean, he could probably spend the next 10 years in court. And he's thinking about running. He's running for president.
Oh, but you know why he's doing that? He needs some money for his lawyers.
It's just
he's
crazy.
Keeping, you know, send me money. Yeah, it's going to his law, lawyers, the few that are there, because he stiffs them too, and then he doesn't listen to them when they tell him to shut up, which is a good thing.
And God forbid he wins the election, he gets his immunity back, and the statutes of limitation for certain of these cases run out, and so they can't prosecute them. You know, so Donald Trump is a fraud and a shyster. And Jack Smith and Alvin Bragg and Fannie Willis in Fulton County, Georgia, and who else? Roberta Kaplan, who is the attorney for E. Jean Carroll, and also for the civil trial, Letitia James, Attorney General of New York. The all way punches ticket to prison, and I hope he gets years in prison for each of these cases. Well, not E. Jean Carroll, because that's defamation, but the other five cases, because Donald Trump need to be like, you know, put away in a federal prison somewhere in general population so the people could deal with him. Because this man is like a total disgrace to America.
Yeah.
No president in the United States ever been through this.
There was a news guy that said he can be president from prison. There's no law that says he can't. I can't believe that. That can't be true.
It's true.
Yeah, it is true.
It is true.
The forefathers didn't see somebody like Donald Trump.
What would we look like? We'd be a joke in this world, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Forefathers, the writers of the Constitution didn't see somebody like Donald Trump being president. You know, so they didn't even think about it, you know?
Now, do all of you think that he's actually going to get the nomination? I think that Jack Smith, he already kind of said that after Memorial Weekend, you know, he was going to put the hammer down. In Georgia, she did say the end of July and end of July, beginning of August, she was going to start her case. So I don't see how he can be campaigning where he's going to have to test. He can't not testify in these places, in these cases. He's got to be there, especially the ones that are being handled by Jack Smith. I think he's got to sit there. So I don't see how he can become the nominee for the Republican Party. What a disgrace. They are putting someone up there that's got so many cases against him for fraud and everything else and money laundering and whatever else they have. And he wants to be president again? I don't think so. Can't happen.
It just shows you there's no Republican Party. It's just right fascists, and they want to bobblehead for a president, you know, just a figurehead, so they can just run the country the way they want, take away our voting rights, take away all our civil rights like abortion and everything else that we have a right to, and run the country the way they want to. Yeah, that's all it
with
is.
With more accountability.
Look,
for example, in New Mexico where I live, there's this guy who he ran for city commissioner. And he lost pretty badly, and he had a record of nearly 7 years in federal prison for larceny, physical assault, and other crimes. He spent almost 7 years in prison, and when he came out, Republicans chose him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How can you choose somebody with such a criminal record? They didn't do the vetting, the background check? No, because he's such a Trumper, you know, and a QAnon person.
Yeah.
That after the election, when he lost badly, he paid people to go to these Democrats' house and shoot at the house and everything. And thank God nobody got hurt or injured.
Yeah.
You know,
I remember
this is what the Republican Party has come to. You know, his name is Pena. Solomon Pena, that's his name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so disgraceful what the Republican Party has turned into. And Florida is one of the bluest states in the union. And if it can happen here, imagine in red states. Or purple states, especially purple states, you know, like Minnesota, you know? I mean, Republican Party have to put themselves together. Wisconsin is the next perfect example.
Republican Party is shit now, and hopefully within 10 years or 15 years, 20 years tops, there will be no more Republican Party, because this is fascism right there. They want to ban books. They want to ban people's speech. You know, you can't say gay. Who the hell are you? But yet still, you know, you want your Second Amendment and you want your freedom of speech to hate. Hate speech. Hate speech is not free speech. It comes with consequences. You know?
Oh, and did you hear today about getting into colleges, that they don't want you to look at the race or ethnicity of the students coming in there? It should not even be discussed. Yeah. How long did they try, you know, the colleges were mostly white, especially the Ivy League ones. There wasn't any other, and now they want to reverse that. There's a thing going to the Supreme Court on that one, too.
Oh, good.
Yeah, these people
are going to hell. I think I got to go to San Marino, get my passport and everything. If Trump gets in office, I'm gone.
Me too. I have this hope, and I'm hoping that my hope turns into a vision that our young people are going to come out in droves because they are the ones that do not care about, you know, LGBTQ. They don't care about people's skin colors. They don't care about any of that. They want to just work. They want their abortion rights. And that's been taken
voting
away.
Voting rights.
And their voting rights, they're trying to do that as well. They're working on that right now. So I just hope that they can't get all these horrible things done, you know, to the voting rights, and these younger people can come out and vote in droves because they see what's happening. I think they understand more than we think. And they see how unjust everything is and how wrong everything is, and they're going to vote the right way. So I think we're going to have a blue wave. I truly do. And we have to just remind the young people to register, to find a way to get them to make sure they're registered and get them motivated to vote if they're not already motivated.
To remind the young people that they have to vote from the city all the way up, because you have local judges, state judges, Supreme Court state judges that impact your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the school board,
the federal government,
city councils, everything.
The federal government looks down and takes a look at the state, and they want to see which way the state is going. And that's a fact.
Worked elections before, you know, the polling places, and when it's local, there's hardly any people coming. They show up for the national elections. But all the people that they put on the school boards now that are going after the teachers in the libraries and on the health department, that was outrageous what they were doing during COVID, and the city council and the county commissioners, they are the ones. You got to go from there on up because they caused the damage, and if you don't fix that, it goes all the way up to the top.
That's right. And I'm trying to think what state it was that said that they're bringing back child labor, that kids as young as
13, 14
Arkansas.
Years old.
Arkansas.
That was great.
They
signed the bill that
Arkansas,
you can be 14
Nebraska.
Years old and 10 bar.
Yeah, Arkansas,
well, the other one was where they want, they were working the midnight shift in the slaughterhouses.
Yeah.
And that is,
in Nebraska. That was Nebraska.
Healthy work.
And in
especially for that age group.
That's horrible.
What state, David?
Roosevelt stopped child labor. Kids working in mines and all that back in the 30s, for Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're getting it back again? You got to be kidding me.
I know. It's crazy. It's absolutely. That
so so that the young people have to know that we paved the way for a lot of things for them. And now if they want to keep it, they got to get out there and they have to vote local, state, and federal.
Yes, absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. There was a lot of bloodshed, a lot of protests, a lot of everything just to,
mm-hmm.
you know, get women's rights and voting rights and get women, you know, so women can have credit cards and get their own line of credit. All
we still mm-hmm. don't have the ERA passed, do we?
Yeah, no.
That's been
but,
since the 60s, and they still
yeah.
haven't passed that damn amendment, mm-hmm. Equal Rights mm-hmm. Amendment. I mean, gee, many
mm-hmm.
cricket.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you know, check this out. Speaking of education, in Tennessee, for example, Bill Lee, the governor of Tennessee, appointed this lunatic, this sheer absolute lunatic. He's a QAnon and Trump supporter. She oversees social studies and everything. And, you know, she believes in the Bible. And, you know, all that good thing. So science would not be taught. You know, basically the woman is a nut job. She may oversee the curriculum of these public schools. She have no business in education because she wasn't a teacher. She's not an educator, but because she's a Christian and QAnon and Trump supporter. Bill Lee, the
so
governor
how are the kids supposed to get into college if they don't know science?
I have no idea.
Or
I don't know. I don't know, but, you know, it's just crazy.
What's happening on the colleges?
Is that
just
trying to whitewash history, basically?
Do you think these fascists want anybody semi-educated? Come on.
No, they
exactly.
do not.
Exactly.
It's just like, oh, just remember the old saying, keep them barefoot and pregnant? Well, they want to keep them uneducated as well. You know,
yeah,
can't
mm-hmm.
actually can't spell, you know.
Barefoot and pregnant is stupid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I have visions of Hitler and Mussolini. That's all. That's what they said. I just heard a quote from Mussolini. You pluck one feather at the time and they don't notice.
Well, of course.
Meaning you take one right away from them at
mm-hmm.
a time and they won't notice.
Yep.
And there you are. You got control over everything.
We have noticed,
mm-hmm.
though, Susie. We have noticed.
I know, but, you know, people are dumb,
people have noticed
too.
Than we know.
The cult,
I really do.
You know, the mega cult. They're just,
mm-hmm.
you know, they
mm-hmm.
believe what they read on their stupid
mm-hmm.
internet things and Fox News and, you know, and they don't change the channel. They don't double-check facts. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then they gang up together and they think they're right, but they're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So just imagine in 5 years' time in Tennessee, it's going to be mindless zombies because they weren't taught education, they weren't taught history, social studies, what have you, because it's going to be whitewashed and everything by a Christian fundamentalist in charge of education. Well, we've got to keep them hillbillies poorly educated. You know, Jesus, you know, have to teach them Jesus is American. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, what I don't understand is what about the parents? I mean, don't they see that what they're not being taught, or do they just trust the school 100%? I mean, you have to think about that too.
Well, in a red
state,
look in a red. Listen, Lori, in a red state, when you look at these
mm-hmm.
YouTube videos of these parents
mm-hmm.
cursing out the school
mm-hmm.
board, saying, "Oh, you know, you teach my children CRT. You're teaching them about history, about slavery.
Yeah.
I feel uncomfortable as a parent. That. You know, your ancestors fucked with us, and like really shit on black people. And
mm-hmm.
what is wrong? Because you feel uncomfortable, your child must know what their ancestors did." You know, if you don't teach history, you're doomed to repeat it. You know?
Of course.
Get over yourselves,
well,
white people.
The shooter in Oxford,
on the
parent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my son,
mm-hmm.
he's lacking self-esteem, so let's go out and buy him a gun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I it's just so sad. You know, parents should have a say and...
Yeah, but some of the parents that are saying are retards. Like that one lady who didn't want the book of the black poet laureate that read at Biden's inauguration about being better people and everything because it was a black girl.
I know.
I mean, there's they asked her if she read the book. She goes, no. But she wanted it banned from the library.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are into it.
Mm-hmm. So this woman is Lori Cardoza Moore. I want people listening, look her up. She's in Tennessee, Lori Cardoza Moore. And she's one of nine members of the Social Studies Advisory Board in Tennessee. She is against diversity, equality, and inclusion. She's a QAnon, moron, and a Trumper. You know, so, you know, expect within the next 5-10 years that, you know, the history in Tennessee will be whitewashed and everything. You know, don't expect too much because these morons running things. Bill Lee, the governor of Tennessee, is a complete, absolute moron. You know,
oh, I know.
Don't know how he became governor. Well,
well,
anyway,
we
moving on. We'll have limited time. Jim Raskin talks possible one for United States Senate. And I have a little clip here to play. And he's going to make a decision by July 4th of this year if he's going to run or not. So here it is. Jim Raskin, possible run for U.S. Senate in 2024.
Tonight we're hearing from Representative Jamie Raskin for the first time since he finished chemotherapy. He was diagnosed with B-cell lymphoma back in December. And since then, he's really improved.
Yeah, he has. Our Evan Koslaw spoke with him back when he started treatment and caught up with him again today to talk about how it's all going. Evan, you also asked him about that open Senate seat and whether he's considering a run. What is he telling you?
Yeah, a lot of politics at play here. Representative Raskin did not announce on WSA 9 today that he'd be running, but he did tell us that he's weighing his options and considering a run. But before we got to the politics, we started by asking about his treatment and how he's feeling.
I'm feeling better and better every day, and my neuropathy is basically gone, and the nausea is gone, and I'm able to sleep through the night, and so I'm back in the land of the living and the well, knock on wood here.
Representative Raskin tells us it's been a trying few months as he's battled this serious but curable cancer.
It seemed like it was going to last forever. It was just an eternity going through it. It was 6 rounds of chemo, but each round was 5 days long where I was, you know, hooked up 24/7.
But it's paid off. He says his latest PET scan showed no cancer cells.
It's just a miracle of modern science what they can do.
Now, on the mend, he's using the month of May to consider a run for the open Senate seat. Earlier this month, longtime Senator Ben Cardin announced that he will not be running in 2024.
I certainly have a number of colleagues and constituents who are encouraging me to check out the Senate and emphasizing the need for dynamic, progressive leadership in the U.S. Senate to move a lot of things that have gotten stuck over there.
So when do you think you might have a decision? I've seen reports that you're taking May. Does that mean on June 1st you're going to have that decision?
Well, I don't know about June 1st, but I definitely, you know, I asked everybody for their patience and forbearance. It seemed like some people were announcing, you know, 45 minutes after Ben Cardin made his announcement or 24 hours later, 48 hours, and clearly I was not, you know, in that camp.
One more chance. Are you sure you don't want to announce right here, right now on WSA 9 that you're going to be running?
Well, maybe I will do it, but not today. Who knows?
Almost
so
got him.
He didn't say no.
We almost made the maybe. Raskin would be the fifth Democrat to join the race, already running. Look at all the people there on the screen there. We've got Montgomery County Councilmember Will Jawando, U.S. Representative David Trone, activist Jerome Siegel, and most recently, Prince George's County Executive Angela Olsen-Brooks. So it's a packed field, and if Raskin jumps in, it'd get even more competitive.
Yeah, so we're seeing all of these candidates in the race, a lot of well-known people. It's going to be an expensive race for sure. So what type of campaign spending are we seeing so far?
Well, here's the thing. We're still a year away from the primary. It's May of 2024, and yet we're already starting to see some of those campaign funds. I got to confirm today that Representative Trone, who is the founder of Total Wine and More, so he's got some money, he reached into those pockets and launched a seven-figure ad campaign earlier this week. Here's one question I have right now. Where is Baltimore? We have all these candidates from Montgomery County and from George's County. no Baltimore case.
But it's early,
right? It's so early.
It's early.
It's very early.
Just like Jamie Raskin may be weighing his decision, there may be others.
And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw somebody from Baltimore jumping in because, you know, the city to our north, they're going to want to get involved too.
You got to make sure you have the money too.
That's right. You know, when they start this early, you got to make sure you can hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Evan, thank you.
Get that interview, okay, when he's ready.
We'll do. Yeah. Imagine seven figures and it's a year away from the primary. Seven figure campaign ads already. It's just a primary.
They need to control the money that goes into elections. That's all. This is not right. Mm-hmm. We got to do it like they do in England. I think it's $250,000 and you can only campaign for 4 months. That would be heaven. Can you imagine all the bullshit that we wouldn't have to listen to?
I know. You know, it seems like we have an election, and then right after that election, we start getting emails, and they start talking about the next and raising money.
Oh, yeah, they start beating the bushes for money as soon as they get in office.
Yeah, it's a revolving door, you know. It's a revolving door. It's crazy.
So do you think that Trump will go to prison? Laurie?
I pray every day.
I think that eventually, yes, I think justice will prevail eventually. Yes, I do. Do I know which case might bring him down? That's a tough one. I'm hoping that Jack Smith or Georgia. Both of those are.
I think both will. They got him on tape.
Yeah.
I mean, guilty is. You know, it's sin, you know, and George, where's my votes? Find me 11,000 votes.
Yeah.
That's not meddling? Give me a break. And then stealing a confidential, you know, top secret stuff, you know, and he lost some paper of secret stuff on Iran, and he doesn't know where it is or who he gave it to. Whoa.
Maybe they can check his former wife's coffin. Ivana's.
Yeah, that can't be done because there's this law saying that if somebody is buried on certain ground, just sacred ground, so they can't dig up a coffin to search or anything, you know? There's a law. There's a specific law.
Is it golf course? Is it sacred?
Yeah. Well, it's a burial. It's just where...
Yeah.
Well, then again, she was cremated, so... You know?
So
I'm wondering.
Well, you know, I've been wondering ever since her funeral why it took 10 people to carry her coffin. Seriously.
When she was cremated.
Yeah, it's only a little thing. My mom was cremated. My dad, they're in a little teeny box,
a
marble thing. Why do you need a coffin?
An urn.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And 10 people carry the coffin. Very interesting. That's just a
fact.
I'm throwing it there.
And for laboring when they were carrying it, I mean laboring. I thought those men were going to end up with all getting a rupture.
That's
so
what I'm
saying. Was in that coffin?
I never saw that, but that sounds weird.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I saw it. And I thought right away, why does it take 10? I thought it was 9 people, but I read it was 10 people to carry her coffin. And I thought, why? It looks so heavy. Why? Well, think about it for a second. I don't know. Not putting anything out there, but I'm just saying.
Did they check the silverware in the White House after he left?
Yeah. Tara Reid, who worked with then-Senator Joe Biden, for example, she accused them years ago, remember? Remember we had this conversation three shows ago with Mike from Minnesota saying that, you know, he sexually assaulted Tara Reid, not the TV/movie star, but an intern when he was U.S. Senator. It turns out that she was a Russian asset because she went to Russia to live. And, you know, it turns out to be a lie. So Mike from Minnesota, I hope you're listening. Tara Reid, your girl, is a liar. And Christina Bettina, the spy who was expelled, who gave tons of money, millions of dollars to the NRA and raised millions of dollars for the NRA from Russia when she was in the United States. She accepted her in Russia and bring her in, Tara Reid. You know, according to Tara Reid, she doesn't feel safe in Joe Biden's America. So there you go. Mm. It was a Russian asset put by the Kremlin and Putin, and this woman who was expelled for spying against the United States, Bettina. You know, so your argument is zilch, nada, no credibility. So stop watching Fox News, it's garbage. Yeah, so we can put that case to rest.
Yeah, I agree. I know. I heard about that. That's something else. And it puts nothing past. I wouldn't put anything. Really wouldn't. I have a question. How do you all feel about AI, artificial intelligence?
I'm glad I'm not a teacher anymore. It was bad enough checking, you know, essays and big papers at the end of the semester and see if they copied it right out of the books or online. Well, but now AI can write their papers. I mean, I could tell if we did stuff in class and then all of a sudden they got brilliant, you know. But that would be tough.
I
know the colleges are worried about it too.
I think it even goes further than that, Susie, because with artificial intelligence, they can do just about anything. You know, they can make a trend, so to speak, and you don't know that it's not really that person.
They showed that on TV, like political ads and stuff like that, and just they're saying certain things, and it's not even that person. It was artificially drawn up. Yeah. And how are you going to – Internet's bad enough. All you need is all this fake crap on there now, too.
I paint a picture, ladies. Imagine if somebody really hated your guts and used artificial intelligence, AI, to make you star in your own porno movie, you know? I mean, where do you go from there? You know, your life is done, basically.
Yeah, I think the sky could be the limit. So I do think they need to regulate it and really enforce the regulations, because I do think it could become a nightmare. I just do.
The guy that invented it put in his job saying that he is sorry he invented it and it's going to ruin the world.
I think he was
it may take over humans. Yeah, he's a father of the internet. I mean, father of artificial intelligence. Congressman Richard Torres from New York, he wrote a legislation, a bill entitled the AI Disclosure Act of 2023 that would require any output from AI to include a sentence disclaimer: this output has been generated by artificial intelligence. So the legislation would task the FTC with enforcement. Congressman Torres said in a statement that AI is the most revolutionary technology to the present day, but can also be used as a weapon of disinformation, dislocation, and destruction. He said one of Congress's main challenges is in the upcoming years would be to carefully crafting a framework to regulate the technology and manage its risks. Because, look here, we'll have the writer's strike in Hollywood. All directors and movie moguls have to do is just type in, you know, use AI to write scripts, to write music, do anything. It can do absolutely anything. So those people are out of work. You get what I'm saying? Besides nefarious things like, you know, shooting your neighbor like a fake porn thing, you know? The bad side of that is people lose work as writers in Hollywood. So we really have to seriously legislate and get a hold of this thing. We've got platforms like ChatGPT.
They're not controlling now the internet for kids. you know, like TikTok and Facebook and stuff, they're supposed to protect the children, and they aren't. I just saw on the news tonight they had a big thing on 60 Minutes about kids being depressed, killing themselves and stuff like that, and their parents had no clue. And the kids said, oh, well, I can hide the app. It looks like it's a calculator, but it's really an app that I can get into and, you know, get around your parents' restriction thing. The kids know how to manipulate it, and there's garbage on that, and they're influenced and all screwed up. And they can't regulate that. How are they going to regulate AI?
They have to regulate.
Exactly.
It is something that... Go ahead, David.
Oh, yeah, we'll have, you know, we already have propaganda on truth with Fox News already and other right-wing stations. So with AI, they could just manipulate that and, you know, flood the internet and social media with even more propaganda and untruths, you know? So the FCC really needs to regulate the shit out of our AI.
Yeah,
that's the only way that, you know, things can be done.
Yep. And it also goes on to say that AI experts and industry leaders signed an open letter earlier this week warning that addressing the risks from AI should have the same priority as avoiding pandemics and nuclear war.
Wow.
That basically tells you a lot right there. You know, I'm concerned about it. I really am. I think that AI, maybe for some things, could be good. But if it's not regulated, you know what's going to happen with it. It's just the evil will take over. There is no doubt in my mind about that. So I don't know.
By the next election, the one coming up, the one after that, oh, my God. How can we tell what's real, what's not?
So
I mean,
it goes on to say,
were put on before the election. All of the photoshops and the piecing and the slicing, and that would be considered kindergarten work according when you compare it to AI.
Right.
Absolutely. Like I said, I think that should be on the front burner right now. I truly do. It's going to move fast.
I'm sure, like, the FBI, CIA, and all those guys are looking at it because, you know, who's going to be the first ones to try to, you know, infiltrate everything, Russia and China, not to mention the far right. But, yeah, I'm sure they're looking at it. But, oh, my God, they already, you know, Russia was already in the last, Trump election, you know, influencing things, and they're still jumping up and down to get him back in because then they could do what they want.
Yeah.
Well, look at that kid from the military. Was he in the National Guard? That messed around with the computers.
Yeah.
We got to hit it hard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Last thing that I'd like to talk about just for a moment is about a little bit about Florida and their homeowner insurance. Their rates are four times the national average, and that's not getting better anytime soon. So, Mr. DeSatan, you better do something about that. Hurricane season officially starts Thursday, but no matter how many storms hit Florida this year, the state's residents are already struggling as they try to get homeowners insurance.
Flood insurance at all.
No, they can't, no.
And my friend who had their condo at Sanibel blown away has not gotten one penny from her insurance company, and she was fully insured. Nothing.
She has no home. And she's probably not going to get anything. You know, it's awful. And it says the national insurers have very little presence in Florida. Big insurance companies dominate more than half of the market in the rest of the country. But in Florida, State Farm has about 7% of the market, according to the Insurance Information Institute and Industry Trade Group. No other major insurer has as much is 2%. So I think, they pay $6,000 a year. Some homeowners are paying $6,000 a year for home insurance. And the national
average.
That's
more than a mortgage, for Christ's sake.
Yes, and the national average is $1,700. So, interesting.
Who wants to live in Florida?
It isn't even that. You think that the governor.
I know, it's insurance companies. It's a racket.
Right. No, what you think the governor, instead of going after Disney, would try to help these, homeowners get insurance and bring the rates down, maybe that's who he should have attacked instead of Disney. I mean, that would make
more
sense.
Oh, and have you noticed that there's a news blackout on what is the condition of Florida after the flooding and hurricanes?
Oh,
you haven't heard a peep, have you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You don't hear anything about Florida.
Not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing you can find in Florida are the I did see a clip, and it was on Instagram, but it was from TikTok. And someone had gone into a field in Florida where they grow watermelons, and they're all rotted. The whole field is rotted. No one has picked a watermelon. So good luck. We're not going to have any fruit probably this year. I don't know. I won't buy anything from Florida anyways. So.
I wonder if that boycott worked, where the workers weren't going to work truckers weren't going to go in there and all that.
Yeah, I don't know. I did not hear. Because once again, you hear nothing out of Florida.
No.
Yeah,
and
the construction industry basically has collapsed in Florida. Because what happened is that when you go by Home Depot and Lowe's, the migrant worker, you pick him up in your pickup truck and take him, give him a day's labor, pay him, And that was a booming business. But no, the state legislature in Florida, which is predominantly Republican, has voted to make it a federal crime. So you can't really blame people for not showing up and everything. You know, they have to find other outlets for work. Because I don't want to get put in these private prisons. God knows when you get a trial, you go through hell in those private prisons. And then, the indignity of going through, a lot of crap before getting deported and everything. You know, so people staying away from the construction industry, the seasonal thing where you pick apples and oranges and watermelon or whatever. You get what I'm saying?
And
they weren't paid, good to begin with, but with this. Landscaping, that's a good one, too.
Yeah, the landscaping. They do all the landscaping down there. And,
And ceramic tile and stuff like that.
And the state just went through a hurricane. So what logical sense does it make to do what he did? What logical? I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. Put this man in perspective. He doesn't have any common sense. He really doesn't.
He is trying to appeal to the wider America who is in red state and who is leaning Republican. He's anti-immigrant.
Yeah.
He's one of us.
Yeah.
But in the same time, messing up Florida. So, Florida keeps voting for a fool and an idiot like Ron DeSantis. They deserve what they're getting.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry for the good people there, but
I know.
Democrats need to put their shit together in Florida. I lived there for many years, and Florida Democrats want to put people like the former governor, who was a Republican, Charlie Crist, there as a candidate. You cannot have Charlie Crist, who is a lifelong Republican. He called himself a Reagan Republican. Like going up against Rick Scott and Ron DeSantis. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. Come on. Use a Republican knife against a far-right lunatic. What do you expect?
I know.
But anyway, we'll have little time and everything. I want to thank Susie. Mm-hmm. I want to thank Elaine for calling in and for people for sharing
so
all
much,
over
guys.
And everything. We really appreciate it.
Thank you
so
much.
Okay, have a good night, you guys.
Have a good night, you guys.
Yes, ma'am.
Take care.
Good night.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.
Yes, ma'am. That was Elaine, and that was Susan, Michigan, and everything. So final thoughts. We'll have another 5 minutes. I think AI, that's artificial intelligence, it's going to make human life, it's a threat to human life. You know, it's going to make us extinct. You know, I fear that will regulate the hell out of it. It's dangerous. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen that Will Smith movie named AI. It's about artificial intelligence taking over the world and everything.
Scary.
It's a possibility.
Yes. It's frightening.
Yes.
AI is, to me, is very frightening. I can just see, I know that they say that they can use it in the medical field. I don't know how, but that's what I've heard. But I'm afraid that the wrong hand will get to, you know, use it. And it's just something that to be regulated and controlled and really, really kept an eye on, because people will take advantage, and we know that. We've already seen it happen, and it is something that, you know, we have to pay attention to. Really do.
Yeah.
So I had at least one bill produced already. That was a positive thing.
Yeah, and my final thing is that Donald Trump is going to spend a long time in prison because his financial advisor over the years, his chief financial officer, has turned against him. The guy who was moving the documents at Mar-a-Lago for him to hide away from Jack Smith turned on him, allegedly. They interviewed Trump, Jack Smith did, in person. Mike Pence before that. You know, so it's all building up to a huge crescendo where the hammer will fall on glass, the table, and everything will shatter to pieces for Donald Trump. And come hell or high water, he's going to spend some serious time in prison, hopefully for the rest of his life, for the Jack Smith, you know, investigating. Letitia James, Attorney General of New York, she'll get them on tax evasion. Fannie Willis in Georgia, election interference. She's going to get in there. He's going to spend some serious time in prison. And even if the Republicans choose him and he's in prison, I can't see America, you know, electing Donald Trump again. The negativity, the 4 years he was there, and the vitriol, and like the absolute bullshit that came out of his mouth. I think people ready to move on. There's no way they'll elect him again.
I think the public is basically tired of Donald Trump. They're not maybe verbally, you know, expressing it yet, but I really do think that everyone has seen and heard enough of him. And, you know, you say you want him to go away for years in prison. Well, so do I. But I will tell you that I do not think that he will last 6 months in prison. I think that he will just wither up and die within 6 months because that man is used to being catered to and, you know, living the life of luxury. And what a difference that would be for him. And I don't think he would last, you know.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know, oh, well, you know.
Yeah.
You just
nobody's above the law, and he's fine out soon.
No, exactly. Yeah. And I think
we've got to go.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank everybody for listening, calling in, liking us on Facebook. We're at www.kitchenpolitics123.com if you want to listen to the show tonight. And previous shows, go to that website. Read the articles, comment, share with your friends. It's www.kitchenpolitics123.com. This has been Kitchen Politics for June 4th, 2023, Season 5, Episode 6, Open Mic Talk. I'm David Franklin. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Laura Picka from Michigan. And everyone have a good night and defend our democracy. Good night, all.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Can you dig it?
Yes, man. Yes, man. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy birthday.